Welcome to For the Health of It, an intimate look at public health in Cowley County, Kansas. Join us as we discuss topics that are impacting public health in our community and learn about what we do at your local health department. Welcome, everybody, and thanks once again for joining us for another episode of For the Health of It, Cowley County. This is Tom Langer, the public health officer and your host. And with me today, as always, is our lovely epidemiologist, Allison Payne. Allie, it seems to me that through all of these episodes so far, we've never really stopped and taken a little bit of a dive into what you do as an epidemiologist. So when you say hi today, would you take a couple minutes out and explain to people what epidemiology is and what your role is?
Yeah, sure. So hello, everybody. As he mentioned, I'm Allie. I hope that you've been listening to us so you can hear how much better these podcasts are getting between episodes. But if you haven't, we're really excited to talk with you today. As he mentioned, I do serve as an epidemiologist here at the health department. You've probably heard of an epidemiologist. You probably heard about it the first time with the onset of the most recent pandemic. But I want to say that epidemiology and that type of study has been around for hundreds of years. Since the 1800s, it's been acknowledged that way. So epidemiology it's a science. It generally studies when and where diseases occur and how they are transmitted. So here at the health department, we look at all kinds of different diseases and look at their origin, who they've gone to, and we kind of trace them back. That's a little bit about what I do here in that realm.
And another offshoot of that epidemiology project or role, I don't want you to sell yourself short, is that when we find out about these things, it also leads us to develop strategies for prevention.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole idea is to figure out what's going on, how it's happening, how we can prevent it, and then, of course, getting that information out to make improvements.
Yeah, absolutely. And that brings us to this specific episode, episode 5, which we are entitled to say is, let's do shots. And everybody had a chuckle at that because I thought that was really fun. Let's do shots brings up so many different mental images. But today we're going to be actually talking about things that we do a lot at the health department, especially when we are trying to combat respiratory illness. Most people will understand that every year we do a big push come September, October, November, as we go into the community and we push very hard to have people take the vaccine to prevent influenza. And then we're going to talk about that today because it's not far off into the future. We're already seeing some signs pop up around town at some of the places like the grocery stores and the supermarkets and those big stores that everybody seems to go to buy whatever it is they're looking for. And it seems to be the only store in both Arc City and Winfield that might have those things. But you get the idea. I think you can probably piece that together, and we're going to talk a little bit about what they do and how they do it and what we do and how it's different. So let's dive into this. We're going to start off with taking a look at respiratory illness. Allie, tell everybody what a respiratory illness is.
A respiratory illness is an illness that we've all had many times. You first encounter respiratory illness as an infant, and you kind of just do for the rest of your life. Respiratory illness generally sets in, I don't want to say the upper respiratory system, but typically is related to the traditional head cold, the snottiness, the pressure in your head, the sore throat, that type of thing. Those things, of course, are an illness, they're an infection, and as those things continue on, they can make the rest of your body susceptible to other infections and become really harmful.
So that's why we look to prevent those. Now, up until the time that COVID came along, and COVID is a coronavirus, if everybody remembers, common colds are caused also by a coronavirus, and that just basically talks about the actual shape of that virus, what it looks like. If you would look at it under a microscope and you could see it has a particular shape. But the respiratory illnesses that they will cause are dangerous to us because of what exactly? What they will lead to or what the results are?
Yeah, potentially. With a respiratory illness, it generally starts in your upper respiratory system, and if it isn't taken care of quickly, it travels to your lower respiratory system. into your lungs, and that's when things really start to become an issue.
Right on. And we're going to talk a lot about that here in a little bit. There's some other things, though, that are tied to illness, especially when we have seasonal illness, colds, flus, and all that good stuff. And that's something I think most people don't take into consideration, and that's the financial burden and the aspects of what it costs us as individuals in society when we get sick. Allie, how many days do you think it takes, applying what you know, for an individual who contracts a cold or the flu to recover enough to where they're actually feeling like their normal selves again once after they've been sick?
I would say for sure 2 weeks. It would be probably around 10 or so days you'd start to feel better, and by 12 you're honestly probably feeling really well. But then at that point you're susceptible to what's referred to as a secondary infection. And that's really where people get knocked down. So it could be, I would say, a minimum of 14 days.
Right. And when we provide information and guidance from the public health officer's office, which is mine, we look at this and it really hasn't changed. I mean, we prescribe a number of days that we tell people that they should stay home and not be out and about. Remind people kind of what those numbers look like.
Yeah, so that's going to depend on the illness, of course, but you're always going to be looking at a time period where it's going to take for your body to multiply that antigen in your body. You're going to become sick. You're then going to begin displaying symptoms. Experiencing those symptoms are going to get worse, and then they're going to start to taper off, and eventually, hopefully, you recover.
We're asked for guidance all the time, aren't we?
Yes.
And when we have those questions come to us, I know we have some pretty standard replies. If I were calling you today as an employer here in Cali County, and I wanted to know what I should be expecting, you know, so that I could tell my employees, what do we recommend that they tell people who get sick on what they should do?
The very first thing we would say is if you have people who are sick in your place of business, to tell them to go home. If people are not feeling well, they need to be home. We would tell them to go ahead and get tested for the common respiratory illnesses if they can do so, and kind of go from there, see what's going on, definitely stay home until those things start to resolve.
Yeah. And you know, people sit there and say, oh, I can't afford that because, or I have this, I have the idea that, oh, I just have to be there. This place can't go on without me. And you know, both of those, I think, are fallacies that can lead to greater expenses on behalf of business, because you have one person that goes in, they think they're doing the right thing, they go in and they're sick and they're contagious and they spread it to other people on staff, and before you know it, you've got four or five people all out sick at the same time, and that doesn't do a business any good at all. It's a lot easier to cover for one person being gone as opposed to cover for a half a dozen, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And with respiratory illnesses, once one person gets it, it doesn't take long for pretty much everybody around them to at least get it in some fashion.
Yeah, which brings us back to our old topics of our kiddos going to school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in a group setting. You know, they're in tight quarters, so you get one kid that comes to school sick, and all of a sudden the entire class comes down with it. And guess what? They take it home, and they spread it to mom and dad at home and all the siblings, and before you know it, the entire town and the entire county is running around and with an endemic illness where they're sick, you know, and that's all being locally spread. So that's one of those things that I think we will never stop messaging, that even if you never, ever take a vaccine, you can do your part by staying home if you get sick. When you're sick, be home. Get yourself out of the population, out of the normal flow, until you have recovered to the point where you are no longer contagious and you can return. Would we agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, super. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about respiratory illness. We talked a little bit about what happens when we get a cold and the flu. I want to dive into the anatomy portion of it a little bit more, because we need to let people understand the seriousness of what we're going to be talking about when it comes to the vaccines that are going to be available this coming season and what that means to them. So I want to talk about lower respiratory tract infections and what those are and what they mean, and kind of put it into terms for people that have no idea about anatomy, or they just, you know, they know when they have a cold, they know when they get the flu. But what is the difference between an upper respiratory infection and a lower respiratory infection?
The difference, quite literally, is just the placement in your body. So that upper respiratory is going to be your sinuses, your nasal cavities. But even as soon as you get to the larynx, or what people often refer to as the voice box, you're already on that path to the lower respiratory system.
So we're talking ear, nose, and throat, you know, would be considered upper lungs is the lower.
Definitely lower. That's kind of the last stop in the lower respiratory system.
And the dangers there are that what might start out as a common cold or the flu or another virus that we're going to talk about here in just a second, by the time it gets to your lungs, that's when the really bad consequences are most likely to occur. And how would people know where it's at if they come down with something? Are there symptoms that they should know about? I know that I remember a doctor telling me that when you have that in your lower respiratory tract, when you're breathing, it sounds like, you know, you've got a bullfrog or I mean, you struggle to breathe and you hear that rumble that's lower or in your chest. And that's that sign, of course, that you've got it. And then those things lead to like pneumonias and other infections in and around the lungs that will then cause them to swell, put pressure on the heart. All of the things that lead to the bad consequences that we talk about from cold and flu season. So anything that I've missed in kind of describing that, or can you think of another way to put it?
No, I think that's a pretty good way to put it. Once it gets to your lungs, like you said, you're susceptible to pneumonia and all kinds of other things. But once it gets there too, it starts impacting your other systems within your body, the circulatory system that you need to breathe,
right?
Your heart, like you mentioned. So it becomes dangerous very quickly.
When we talk about these illnesses, there are two distinct groups, aren't there, that are always at the high risk ends. Let's talk about those groups real quick. Who are they and how are they comprised?
Yeah, so the first group that I'll mention is the youngest population that we have, our infants and our toddlers. Those would be kiddos that are generally 3 or younger, but really in that first year of life, they're going to be susceptible to all kinds of things. That just makes sense. When a baby is born, they have very little immunity that they acquire from their mother. So they have to be exposed to these different antigens to build that. So until they do so, they're going to be really susceptible to developing these harsh and severe infections. The other population that you're referring to would be our senior population, generally defined as those that are 60 and older. Kind of on the other end of the spectrum, things start to not work as efficiently as they once did. So it becomes harder for the immune system to combat infections.
And that's exactly right. And that's why generally we'll have a good portion of the population, you know, the children all the way through adults, that can fight these things off relatively, I don't want to say easily, they'll suffer with them, but their body is strong enough that they will eventually recover. We don't like the fact that you have to go through it, but it is part of that. And with littles, it's that way a lot. I mean, they have to get sick. We know that. That's how their bodies learn to fight these things off for a lifetime of immunity. But what's really severe is the fact that when you've got an infant who gets this type of illness, and they do, and we're not just talking about the snotty nose or the bubbly nose that can be suctioned out and all that, but we're talking when it gets down into their lungs and they have a difficult time being able to breathe.
And with the babies, that is actually classified with the wheezing.
Wheezing.
In the younger population.
Yeah. That's really, really, really a problem. So, and as a father thinking back, I can remember when the kids would get sick. It was always difficult. It hurts you as a parent to sit there and listen to your kids have to suffer with those things. So that's why we hope folks will take advantage of the tools that are available and the shots, you know, as we do shots, that are available to protect their families. Because I know that nobody wants to come up and roll up their sleeve and get a vaccine or get the flu shot every year. Because, oh gosh, you know, the only time I ever had the flu was when I got the shot. Well, no, that was likely coincidental. But in reality, I know for my own personal, the only time I get it is if I don't take the shot. And if I do pick up something on those years when I've had vaccines, it's generally mild, and I'm not out of work very long, and I recover pretty quick. And I'm in my 60s already. So anyway, I don't know that we want to beat that one to death, no pun intended, but I did want to make sure that we spend enough time actually understanding or telling people why they need to understand how important it is to take the prevention methods seriously and avail themselves of the shots that we've got going. So let's talk about influenza. What do we got coming up? What are the vaccines that the health department is going to be rolling out this year? Are they different from years before?
No, they're not. We have had these three vaccines for flu. We get them from the same manufacturer, and we think that they're great. We have three. Each of them is referred to as a quadrivalent. That means that it provides protection against four different strains of the influenza virus. We have one that is referred to as Fluzone. That vaccine is the one that most of the population gets. The kiddos and through adult age until you get to about 50, then you might consider getting the flu block vaccine. That vaccine, again, a quadrivalent. It provides a little bit extra protection than, I don't want to say your standard flu shot, but the Fluzone that I just spoke to. And then there is the high dose vaccine that we offer for our senior population that provides additional protection to help with that weakened immune system.
And they are very good. And the three vaccines, they all come from the same manufacturer. We have used these now for a long period of time. I think the new kid on the block was Flublok, which we added to our menu of offerings 4, maybe 5 years ago when it became available. And it had been on the market for a year or so. I cannot say enough about the way that that shot works. It has been absolutely the best vaccine that we've received in for use in the population. There was 1 year when high dose wasn't available right away. They had problems at the manufacturers, and we were fortunate enough to have brought in a lot of the flu block, and we gave that to seniors, and it worked really, really well. It is a very, very, very good vaccine. All of them are, but I will take that one again this year, even though I'm at the age where I can qualify for the high dose. That'll come in a few years as I continue to get older, but I'm going to hang on to that good old flu block for as long as I can. And one of the things about this, you know, how easy it is to get it. I mean, it's really very simple. It's a fast administration, so much so that all of these vaccines we provide to people in a drive-up basis. I mean, you know, when we have our two drive-up clinics every year, one in Ark City and one here in Winfield, these are the vaccines that we provide. If you've had a shot from the health department, you've had one of these three, and it makes it really easy. And we want people to make sure to mark their calendars again, and I'll have Allie let you know when those dates are.
Yeah, so the drive-through lane that we're going to have in Winfield this year is going to be at the fairgrounds in Barn 4, and that is going to be on Wednesday, October 4th from 10 to 6. And then the drive-through lane in Ark City is going to be at the Ag Building, or what Ark City refers to as the Pig's Palace. It is going to be there the following Wednesday, October 11th, also from 10 to 6.
The Agribusiness Building, yeah. That's perfect. Those two locations have worked out so very well for us, and I think people really know where they are now, and we appreciate you guys coming out. It's a real quick and easy way to do it. We see a lot of folks every year in those lanes, and we're appreciative of that. But we can't stress enough how important it is to get that. We do not know. We have not seen a lot of information yet this year about how severe the influenza season is predicted to be. A lot of times we'll be watching the Southern Hemisphere this time of the year when they're, you know, they're into their winter, and we see what's circulating as far as strains of influenza. I want to go back and talk a little bit about quadrivalent and what that means, Allie, because you mentioned there's a vaccine that is designed to basically repel four different strains of influenza.
Yes.
And I don't know that people understand. We have influenza A, we've got B, and then included in those two, there are variants. There's one particular strain that will always be included, and that is H1N1. And H1N1 is always included in the vaccine. And then we'll have one of those other B strains generally that would be akin to what like was the Spanish flu. So that, if you remember right, the other than coronavirus and you know, COVID, the last worldwide pandemics were H1N1, and then you go all the way back to the Spanish flu. And those things still circulate. And so those, there are variants out there for that, but then there's also the most prevalent A or B that's considered to be circulating. And if folks will remember what happened during COVID, we talked a lot about how the virus would mutate and would change. Flu viruses are the exact same way.
Yes.
They mutate and change.
They have to if they're going to remain effective.
Yeah, and they do that. They're going to survive. They're going to find a way, and so they will change. That is why we don't have an immunity to the flu or to colds, because they're always changing. And so that's why every year it's important for us to have the vaccine, because that will spin up our systems to be able to fight off whatever we might be exposed to during the time. Let's talk about how long of a period those vaccines are good for.
So the efficacy of these vaccines ranges from about 4 to 6 months on average.
And there's a defined time period here in Cowley County that we see historically as what we call our flu season. Can you remember what that is?
Yeah, respiratory season or flu season generally starts right at the end of October. So we're looking at November 1st through the end of March.
Right. So well, I always like to go Halloween to March 31st. Those are the days we look at. That does not mean that you can't get your vaccine earlier or later.
And you should.
Yeah. It's just a situation where if you get it too early, it could wane before the season is over. And I look back to 2017, 2018, historically, and I'll be honest with you, as the PHO, the public health officer, I was absolutely terrified when COVID came around, because I remembered that specific flu season. And we thought if we had a flu season, or if we had a virus that would spread like we did that year. In 17-18, the numbers that we were able to amass and keep and the projections that we had, we know that over one-third of the population of Cowley County was sick that year with the flu. And it was a bad one. We actually did have recorded illnesses and hospitalizations and deaths that were associated with influenza. So it's not something that we just make up. Boy, it was a bad one. And if you had it that year, you'll remember it. But we also saw something else that occurred during that time period, and that was a nasty respiratory infection that nobody could really identify, and that carried on into the subsequent years. And we're going to talk about that next. You might hear about it just by the use of its initials of RSV, but we're going to talk about what RSV stands for and what that means.
RSV stands for respiratory syncytial virus.
And I want you to say that, because I always stumble over the middle word.
Syncytial.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things that you look at it as it's written, and you know, when I say syncytical, what? No, it's syncytial, right? Yes. Syncytial virus, or RSV. Let's talk about what that is and what it does.
It's a respiratory illness. It starts in your upper respiratory system, and it travels to your lower respiratory system. It gives you many of the same symptoms that you would get with the common cold. Once that manifests in your lungs, you run into some issues.
Exactly. And this is where it gets extremely bad, because RSV has a really strong track record of migrating quickly into that lower respiratory tract and causing babies and seniors a lot of problems. So all of the flu vaccines that we would provide really didn't do anything to combat the infection that could set in if you contracted RSV, right?
Right. We're talking about different illnesses.
Absolutely. Similar in appearance, so much so where people says, oh man, I really had a bad case of the flu. They didn't have the flu at all. You know, it was RSV. And they'll say, man, and it just put me down. I was out for 4 weeks, almost a month, and I still don't feel right. You know, it just hangs on, and I have that deep, long, lingering cough. That is indicative of RSV. And we have been worried about that. You know, we know what the consequences are when you get that. And this year, finally, there's some good news. And what would that be?
The great news is that there are going to be 2 new vaccines that will be offered this respiratory season to combat some of this illness.
And I want to talk about what a vaccine of this nature is and it does, because I don't want people to sit there and say, oh, you said I wouldn't get this. No, this is what the vaccines we're going to be talking about are going to accomplish. They are going to protect your body from allowing the lower respiratory infections to take a hold. So these vaccines that we're talking about today are designed to protect the lower respiratory system, so that if you contract RSV, that it really doesn't progress more than what a really bad cold would be, and it doesn't settle in the chest and doesn't lead to those complications, those secondary complications that oftentimes, especially in babies and in seniors, that would send them to the hospital or even worse, you know, because that does happen. And that's what these vaccines are designed to do. They don't stop it. I mean, it's like if you walk into a room and you're close to somebody that's got that virus and they're contagious, you could probably pick it up. But if you've had the vaccine, what you're going to be protected against is how it would develop in your lower respiratory system. So if any of you out there have had pneumonia in the past, or you suffer from things like COPD or asthma or any of those issues that would put you at high risk if you were to catch colds and flu, this is something that we know, you know, we're going to be wanting to talk to you about, especially if you are age 60 and over, or if you are newborn through that first season of your life. So that's what we're going to talk about, right?
Yes.
Okay. So which one do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about babies, or you want to talk about seniors?
I think we should talk about the babies.
Let's talk about babies. Okay, go for it.
So this vaccine was developed by Sanofi Pasteur. That's the same manufacturer that we actually receive our influenza vaccines from. So we're pretty excited about that. This vaccine is known as Beyfortus. The vaccine is designed to provide monoclonal antibodies and provide passive immunity to babies in their first respiratory season to help with that RSV infection.
Passive immunity. That's exactly what we just discussed. It's what we were just describing. The passive part of it, it means the child will still be subject to catching the virus without having it develop in its lower system. So it's going to have to get the cold. We all do that. We get those things. We hopefully can fight those things off and our bodies come out of it stronger. But we won't have that secondary infection, right?
Right.
Okay. That I think is something that everybody needs to understand. It's not a cure-all. It's not a magic shield. That I think also has been the big bugaboo about people saying, oh, well, the flu shot doesn't work. Yeah, the flu shot does work. It does. But it's not 100% effective 100% of the time. So if you do get it, you won't have it and it won't be as severe. But it doesn't mean that it's a bulletproof vest that you can put on, because even those things, you know, they have little holes in them from time to time. So let's talk a little bit more about Beyfortus and what we know. Who's eligible to get it?
We know that babies are eligible to get this in their first respiratory system. So babies that are born ideally within that first year of life, they would get it in that first respiratory illness season. And then some babies, especially preemies, they may qualify to receive as a second dose in their second respiratory season.
Well, you know, Allie, that's really kind of cool, and I like that idea, and I'm happy we've got something coming along. But, you know, after the pandemic, I'm kind of vaccined out. I don't trust these drug manufacturers anymore. They seem to rush this stuff, you know, to market really, really fast. You know, why should I trust this?
You should trust this because RSV has been a major contributor to illness for years and years. The technology that's been circulating for looking into that virus, again, the epidemiology, what causes it, how it spreads, things like that, has been going on for decades, even a century. So this technology isn't new. Sanofi, this manufacturer, has been working with this data for years and years.
Yeah, so we're talking about, because I remember asking the rep when they came in, said, his name is John. I said, John, we're going to have to educate people on this. And when we took a look at the clinical trial data, they've been working on this for, what, 8 to 10 years, right?
Right, and that's this vaccine.
This specific vaccine, right.
And so, they had been working on others before that. Mm-hmm.
And so the clinical trials, the studies, you know, everything on this is done what I call the old-fashioned way. This is not a warp speed vaccine. This is one that has gone through all of the phases of study, all of the approvals, the FDA, the IACP, all of that information has been done, and now it's finally being able to be rolled out. That's one of the things on both of these vaccines that we're going to talk about, I want people to understand. This is not something that they just cooked up in the crock pot over the last 6 months. Nuh-uh. This has been done the right way, which was always one of those things we keep referring back to, that bugaboo of Operation Warp Speed and bring a vaccine to market quickly, that had us in the profession scratching our heads saying, how can that happen? How can we do that? This goes against everything that we know and we've come to trust. Well, this goes back to exactly that. This is built on those foundational pillars of how a vaccine is developed and how it's properly brought to the population, and we're thrilled about having that, right? Let's see. We know that it's been pretty much approved. We don't have it in stock yet, but it's coming, right?
Yes,
and
soon.
And so who's going to be eligible for this? This is the kiddos, but how, you know, is it affordable? Are people going to be able to get it?
Yeah, so we're going to be looking at anybody who has recently had a baby, is expecting a baby. We're really going to be targeting those families to at least inform them about this opportunity. The vaccine is going to be covered by the different types of insurances, so that should help families out tremendously.
Now, this is not something that we're going to give to mommies.
Correct.
This is only
approved for the babies.
Yeah, this is for the babies. And we'll talk about that a little bit, because here again, in the clinical trials, the types of vaccine that we're looking at and what it would prevent might not be good for an expecting mom.
Correct.
And so when you sit there and say, well, how come it's not available for everybody? It's because of the fact that we know that this might not have the kind of effect we would want it to have on anybody else. There's two segments of the population, the very young and the elderly, which sadly I'm a part of now. So that's Beyfortus. Now let's talk about Arexvy.
Arexvy is a vaccine that was manufactured by GSK. This vaccine has actually been, again, studied for years and years. GSK has contributed their time, their finances to RSV research for over 60 years. So we're pretty competent in its product. Same type of thing. It has received FDA approval. It's gone through all of the necessary trials. They've had over 3,000 people in the various trials, and they've tested it. And how many countries was it? 17.
17. And it
yeah,
was, what, 35? Wasn't it 35,000 test subjects?
Yes, in total.
Yeah, 35,000 test subjects, 17 continents, all through the different age categories. But that's why we know, too, that you don't. They're not recommending it for certain age groups, and it's been refined to that point. This really, really looks so promising. And I'll tell you why I'm kind of excited about Arexvy. Number one, it's because of the fact that I'm getting to that age group now where something like this is going to be something that I would benefit from. But this is not the thing about these two shots for when we're talking RSV, and we say, hey, well, what are they? How are they similar to flu and how are they different? RSV shots are going to be a one and done. You get it one time. You will not get this every year. So that's an important distinction. Whereas the flu vaccine, we've talked about how it changes. The lower respiratory tract protection will always remain after these shots. That's what we've been told. Folks, if you watch TV, especially in the evenings like I do from time to time, you will probably have noticed GSK, which is GlaxoSmithKline, have put out a lot of advertisements. You see older folks engaging in activities, doing this and that and the other. And they say, and this was cut short by, and the commercial abruptly stops. And they talk about how it was cut short by RSV. And then they say, check with your healthcare provider to find out more. Well, we are working on becoming the absolute subject matter experts. Everything that we've been able to see and digest, this looks really, really good. I know that as the public health officer, we are recommending this to all of our long-term care facilities, that their residents should take this if they can, and unless their physicians say they have some reason not to, which we can't even figure out what that would be. So it is going to be something that I know in its first year, we're going to be seeing a lot of folks hopefully taking advantage of. Because if you've ever had that cold and flu that really puts you down, and if you're elderly, you know exactly what we're talking about. And it also is prone to reoccur the next time you get ill, and we don't want that happening. Our concern is not about making a buck. Our concern is about saving people from suffering and keeping them well. That's what the health department does. It's what makes us a little bit different from other places. This isn't just roll up your sleeve, take a jab. Our nurses are all trained. We all know how to treat these issues. And we want to make sure that you all understand exactly what you're going to be taking, that it's going to be safe, and that the positive side of this is so much more than what the negatives would be, because getting ill and possibly having, you know, negative health outcomes. And come on, I'm just going to say it. I don't want to see any more of my friends get sick that are older, go to the hospital after they thought they were over it and die 2 or 3 days later. And that's happened to me. I've had friends that has happened from here in the community, and it breaks my heart. So understand that's why I'm excited about this as the public health officer. Anyway, that's what I got to say about that. Allie, there's so much about these things that I'm sure people are probably going to have questions with. What can they do? How can they find out more?
I would say the best thing would be to speak with somebody who you trust. The health department is a great start. If you're not sure who that might be, make sure that anything that you're reading comes from a source that is reliable. Pay attention to those things. It really does make a world of difference on how you read and interpret information.
Yeah, we absolutely do want folks to contact us and talk to us about this, because there's a lot there, and then we can actually take a look case by case to see if you are a person that would qualify for it. I mean, not because if you got insurance or not or whatever, but would you need to have that? Because this is not going to be something that we're offering through the drive-thrus.
Right.
No, this is something that we're going to do in a clinical setting or in a
controlled
environment where we go out, because, you know, they are new. We're going to make sure that all of the safeguards and all of the precautions are taken to make sure that you stay safe and stay healthy. That's our goal. And it's not about profit. It's about protection. And that's what we're all about. So anything else that we need to talk about as far as these two really interesting shots that are coming up?
Yeah, these vaccines they're really cool. Both of them, they are. The second one that we were talking about for the older folks, it is based off of technology known as recombinant DNA technology. That technology is awesome because it focuses on a specific piece of the germ or the antigen. In this case, we're talking about that RSV virus. Mm-hmm. So when they focus on something that's a part of the virus without focusing on the whole thing, it makes it easier for people to be able to take it.
Right.
One thing that people refer to quite a bit is, oh, I can't have vaccines, I'm allergic to eggs.
Right.
Well, this type of technology eliminates that type of issue. So that's great for our seniors. And then with our younger population, it is a monoclonal antibody injection. That's really cool. It provides the passive immunity, and it does so providing almost immediate protection. So with our infants, that's what we need.
I'm thrilled that you brought up that egg allergy issue and the recombinant DNA, because that is also what makes flu block so special. And that, when I saw that, I mean, I remember thinking, oh, this is new, this is different. There was always a hesitancy there, you know, I don't want to be the first one. But I am so bought in on that RNA, that recombinant RNA technology, especially in the vaccine world. It makes the hand fit into the glove really smoothly. And that's what these vaccines are supposed to do. They are designed to block certain things. And when you can mimic what that virus is supposed to look like exactly, to where that glove catches those fingers it goes in and blocks it, that's RNA technology. And it is amazing what we've seen happen. Daniel, I think you were kind of giving us the sign saying we're getting close on time. So we're probably going to, Allie, have to go ahead and think about wrapping it up. What is it that we really want to tell people that they need to do, and how should we go about getting them ready for what's going to be happening here in the next 6 weeks or so?
I would say get started informing yourself. Be informed about these options. Be informed about how to get in touch with the health department, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Really, honestly, give us a call. We don't mind chatting about this. We're also going to be putting up, I think, some information on these vaccines and these studies. Daniel will probably give you those links, and we can post them on the credits of the podcast. We'll maybe make this information also available to anybody that wants to see it through our website. Push it out a little bit on the social media pages, right, including our app. So if you haven't had a chance to join the health department community by downloading our app, please do so. It's an easy one to find. If you have trouble with that, give us a call, or I think you can almost hit a link on our webpage and it'll take us to it, right? To where they can download that. So we've got so many cool things going on in the health department that we're proud of, that we want to make sure that everybody, you know, that is technologically inclined has the app access to this so quick and easily. And if not, If you still want to talk to a person, you want to get a pamphlet, you want to read it, we make that information available too. Anything I've forgotten?
No, I think that's great for today.
Yeah, I do too. I'm hoping that you've enjoyed this particular broadcast. And anytime you guys want to, give me a call. We'll do shots. That's just the way that stuff works. It's tongue-in-cheek, like you say. We're joking about it. But we are one of the largest vaccine providers in all of Cowley County. Our motivations, again, are not profit. You know, we're not out there trying to be the very first. We're trying to be the very best.
So and that prioritize your health.
Yeah, and we do prioritize your health and your well-being. So that's the most important thing to us. And we're so happy that you've continued to join us listening to our podcasts. And we'll be back again the next time. And we've been batting around what we're going to talk about next time. I think it's going to have to do something with our local colleges and the new students that are coming back for the school year and how they will be looking to protect their health as they join us and become members of our community for this coming school term. So if you have any interest in that, keep your eyes open and we'll be back with that again. So until next time, thanks once more for listening. And as always, we want you to
stay well.
Stay well. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this edition of For the Health of It, Cowley County. We hope you found it useful and that you'll tell your friends and give us a listen again during future episodes. As always, we end today's segment by replaying a recent Public Health Minute, which is a weekly radio message focused on keeping you healthy. So, until next time, stay well, everyone. With the fast-paced nature of modern life, there's a lot that we take for granted every day, especially water quality. Whether it's for drinking, flushing, bathing, or swimming, water plays a central role in shaping the health of our community. That's why your health department works diligently to maintain the quality of water within Cowley County. Through our environmental health program, we provide many services that protect the water resources of the community, such as wastewater system inspections and private well water testing. Keeping water safe is fundamental to protection from illness and disease. To learn more about our environmental health services, download our mobile app or visit our website. If you want to hear an in-depth conversation about some of our services, check out episode 4 of our podcast, For the Health of It, Cowley County, protecting the most vital resource in our community. Just another way the health department works hard every day to help you stay well.